Hi there, this is Claire from the HR Trends podcast. This next interview from the HR Tech Conference features Jessica Miller Merrill. She is really well known in the HR tech space. She's the founder of Workology. And she's speaking with Swapnil Prabha, who's our Vice President of Workforce Wellness Solutions.
Just so excited to have you here today with
Thank
us.
You.
And I know that you had an amazing talk yesterday. And for the listeners who were not able to be here, would be great to start out with what did you talk about, and if there were three things, or five, that you want them to take away from it, what would they be?
Well, the topic was wellness in the workplace, just kind of shining spotlight on wellness as an area that managers, leaders, HR professionals should be thinking about in how they support their people. Mm-hmm. And as far as the three things that they need to know about, I and my co-presenter in the session, Sarah White, we got very personal and shared our own personal experience with our wellness journeys. I've been on a health wellness journey personally and lost over 60 pounds. And that's, yeah,
that's
thank
amazing.
You. I feel great. I wish I would have done it sooner. And my friend Sarah co-presented. She's just come off of a sabbatical for burnout. So we got really real and talked about a lot of our personal struggles and challenges. And it was nice to share as speakers, presenters, people who were invited to come to the conference to be able to get vulnerable and say, hey, let's normalize like these topics, because it's happening to me, it's happening to you, it's happening to Sarah, it's happening to your employees too. And we really need to create systems and safe spaces for them to be able to get the resources that many times they don't even know that they need. So the third thing that we talked about was HR tech. Wellness is an emerging area. It is actually, there's more categories, like subcategories inside of wellness than talent acquisition right now. So it's a growing area. Menopause is a space in there that I'm seeing a lot of things. Financial wellness, burnout, obviously. Just kind of domestic abuse support. Mm-hmm. It's more than an EAP. It is growing. And it was wonderful to be able to talk and share. And here, we had such great interaction from everyone in attendance.
Well, rumor has it, and I think it's real, that you had a really long Q&A session. What were some of the key questions that kind of stay with you and maybe even inspire your journey forward?
We had 40 minutes of Q&A, which was absolutely wonderful, and
oh,
I was
wow.
floored.
Is that a record?
I don't know. I mean, this is the first time I presented at HR Tech, but I've been an attendee for 12 years. So it was nice to kind of be in a different position and be able to drive the conversation, because I really do want to inspire change. And I found the more transparent I am about my own personal experiences in life, and we all go through struggles, but the more other people are empowered or influenced to maybe face or get support for things that are going on in their life, or certainly their employees' lives.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Some things that came into the Q&A, obviously we talked about HR tech, and like I said, it's a growing category, but I was really interested in some conversations around the ROI of wellness. Like, how do we communicate this to our executive teams? How do we take a subject like productivity, which is hugely influenced by being in the right frame of mind and feeling like you're in a safe space, and turn that into a number of sales or revenue or reduction expenses, maybe healthcare costs or even absenteeism? And so having those conversations, I think, is incredibly important, because we can put together forecasting models and information to present to our executive teams and say, hey, investing in a program like this, or going beyond an EAP, or talking about pay transparency and why it's important, or continuous compensation where people have access to money immediately so they can pay their bills instead of going to payday loans or things like that, that sometimes will often put you in a worse situation than you were in initially. So there was a lot of really great discussion around that. And then what I was really, really excited about was the conversation about managers and how they're not therapists. Mm-hmm. Like, we aren't therapists. Sometimes it feels like that working in human resources. But we do need to have tools and resources. We need to lead with empathy and listen and build those relationships. So encouraging managers to focus on leaning in and building that rapport, and then directing them to people, resources, technology, whatever that your organization has, to encourage them to get help and support that they need. And oftentimes you don't know. You don't know that you need those things. I did not realize, so I'm a domestic abuse survivor, and I had no idea that I was even being abused. I was in complete denial. And what happened was, I was an HR director, and I had an employee come in who had a physical altercation with her partner, and I helped her get a place to live. We got her in the EAP. I got her in the shelter. I helped her set up a savings account to make her safe and her son. And after she left, it was very emotional for me, and I was like, how could she let this happen? And then I said to myself, how can I let this happen to me? And so a lot of times when you are experiencing burnout, domestic abuse, other types of trauma, you don't even realize that it's happening, which is why it's important for me to be sharing, for us to be talking about struggles, challenges, focus in the wellness area, so that maybe I can help one person. Like I was helped where my eyes were opened, and I was able to probably save my own life.
Mm-hmm. And you saved yourself.
I did.
And many, many others.
Absolutely.
And thank you so much for sharing that, because you're absolutely right. It's so important to share, and not everybody is able to, and that's fine. Everybody has their own preferences
and
boundaries.
You do what you're comfortable with. And you can help in other ways of support. And I think having a wellness program or a mindset focused on these kind of resources is something that anyone could do, regardless of your personal experience
Absolutely.
Or your challenges in life, is advocating in support of these kind of things, because they're important. And it is incredibly beneficial. It helps people in ways that you can't even imagine.
Right. So you've been at and you said you've been attending HR Tech for a while, first time speaker, but I'm sure not the last time.
Hopefully not. I mean, the Q&A was great. Hopefully I'll be invited back, and we can have more conversations on this topic. So.
And you mentioned a few priorities. What do you, if you were to put yourself in, let's say, in a benefits leader role at a company, what do you think is the key priority for employees when we look ahead to 2024 that they can kind of, you know, create the ROI and try to forecast the value for their leadership to make a case for investing? So in 2024, what's the one thing that you think is important?
I think maybe having some conversations with employees first, or talking to the executive team about the direction of the business, so that you can try to make sure that what you want, what the executives want, what the employees are thinking is in alignment. A lot of it depends on your industry, too. Mm-hmm. If I was in the retail space or an hourly workforce space, continuous compensation would be really important, and probably financial literacy, because my background's retail HR. I know so many people are right now burnt out because they're taking side jobs. Inflation has increased the prices of things, and we are stressing a lot about money and finances.
Yes.
So do your research, ask some questions, talk to your people, because historically, VPs of HR, executive leaders, their lives, the lives that we live, are not the same as your average employee. Mm-hmm. And so what you're like, oh, I don't have any financial problems. Well, you're not the average person. Mm-hmm. So tapping into those people, and maybe through surveys or focus groups, asking some questions to understand what's important for them, so that you can customize a program and help them. Oh, for example, Walmart has a fertility options that they've recently added, and I love that. Another company that's here at the conference, and their CPO, Chief People Officer, is going to be on my podcast soon.
Oh,
they
awesome.
Have a menopause program. Lattice.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I'm really excited about these kind of things as a woman over 40, number one. I need to know more about those sort of things. But the different ways that wellness is showing up, it is really dependent on what your workforce needs and who they are. I have seen organizations maybe offer 100% paid benefits in lieu of like 401k match or things like that, because it is what is pinching the pocketbooks of the employee population. So mm-hmm. start with research, understanding your people, where their pain points are, and then you can build your program right. out from there. But we should be thinking about this 3 months ago, right? Because right. annual enrollment period is almost
yeah.
here.
It's here.
Yes, here yep. before we know it.
Right. And that's such an important point. So listen to your people, understand, because to your point, it is very context dependent, and what one employee demographic may want might be different from others.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be mm-hmm. a big program. It can start small. I am definitely in favor of small programs that are targeted so you can measure the financial impact in the business, and maybe with a pilot program or
right.
something like that. So that you can really speak to the executive team and say, hey, here's what we've seen through this 6-month program that we implemented in this small group. I'd like to suggest that we expand it beyond those areas.
I love that. It's not entitlement that, hey, our people need it, let's do it, but you're really understanding the business problem and making it easy to make that decision.
That is the key yeah. for HR leaders,
right.
is to bridge the gap and really come at this from a business side. Yes, wellness is important for a lot of reasons, and there's research and data to support all these things, but when you're an executive leader, CEO of a business, you are looking at your financial statements and being driven by these numbers, sales, revenue, costs, expenses. So you have to find a way to speak in their language to communicate the value, and wellness can impact a lot of different areas, so it's important to be really clear and be focused on maybe what your forecasting model might look like, because you're going to have lots of questions from your executive team because they haven't maybe heard an HR person come from this angle or this point of view before
True.
To speak their language. So
mm-hmm.
there might be a little like, what's happening here? But be confident in those numbers and that forecasting to say, like, here's the plan, or let's dial this up, dial this down, so I can really show you the impact that it might have on the business. They do this already in sales forecasting mm-hmm. and in the business in terms of headcount
right.
forecasting. Why can't we do it in this area
right.
too?
Yeah. Great point. Why not? Last question, my favorite one. If there was one word you can have to describe HR in 2024, what would it be?
Smart. Like smart HR, smart decisions. I think that we're coming at this cautiously, but informed now more than ever because of access to data and information. And hopefully, like, I really feel like business acumen is so key for us to be able to communicate exactly how we impact the business. And mm-hmm. that starts with being smart.
I love that.
Unum is a registered trademark and marketing brand of Unum Group and its insuring subsidiaries.